Well, I definitely have the joy of talking about giving with y'all, and you'll see the subtitle there, The Cheerful Giver. So I wish I could get this thing like, maybe that's good. So I entitled it The Cheerful Giver, okay? As we shift to giving, I have a story I want to tell y'all that I found rather humorous. It's the story of the great preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones shared about a farmer, okay? This farmer one day went happily and with great joy in his heart to report to his wife and family that their best cow had given birth to twin calves, one red and one white. And he said, "You know, I've suddenly had a feeling, an impulse, that we must dedicate one of these calves to the Lord. We will bring them up together, and when the time comes, we will sell one and keep the proceeds, and we will sell the other and give the proceeds to the Lord's work." His wife asked him, which was he going to dedicate to the Lord? "There's no need to bother about that now," he replied. "We will treat them both in the same way. And when the time comes, we will do as I say." And off he went. In a few months, In a few months, the man entered his kitchen looking very miserable and unhappy. When his wife asked him what was troubling him, he answered, "I have terrible news to give you. The Lord's calf is dead." In our lives, much like the farmer, it is only natural for all of us to economize our contribution to the Lord, right? The topic of giving is much like the topic of any spiritual discipline you and me have. If we don't prioritize the idea that the Bible is telling us about in the other disciplines, let's say prayer, Bible study, fellowship, the things we're going to cover at the Essentials in a couple weeks, and we don't take the appropriate steps to practice those spiritual disciplines, just like the Lord's cow, it's basically going to get pushed to the back, right? The things of the Lord, if you're like me, and I think we all are, right, in this respect at least, the things of the Lord do not come natural to us, right? We have to be told, the Holy Spirit has to work on our heart, and that it's at that point that we're able to take steps to actually listen to God's word and obey it, right? You can probably think about, even for your own life, you know, Bible reading. When you were first introduced to Bible reading, you may have thought, "I'll do that when I can," right? And then maybe you went a week and you said, "I never did it because I never had time." You know what I mean? And it works the same here with this spiritual discipline of giving, is you have to think and prioritize it and then take steps to do it. And I already said it at the beginning, but it's amazing, man. I mean, when have you obeyed God's word and it not worked out well for you? I mean, this is another one of those things. So in obeying in this regard, the mysterious blessing that comes with it is amazing. And I hope that y'all, if you haven't prioritized this area, I'm really hopeful in the next 45 minutes, hopefully, you'll be spurred on to take steps to obey this very important part of your spiritual life, and not like the farmer. Okay, before we start, I get zero from this, okay? there's no slot in the back for me. I get nothing from this. No tips needed. I said this to the young marrieds group, and I did get a gift card to Cheesecake Factory, but I didn't know that was going to happen. And Vikram, you don't need to do that with me. I just wanted to get that off my chest because I told him the same thing and then I got a gift card for Cheesecake Factory. But the point is I get nothing from this, okay? I get no money. What I do get is just the incredible blessing. Here we go. The incredible blessing of being a learner of God's purposes for our lives, just like y'all. And I get to share that with y'all, which I find really cool, right? Hopefully, as we go through this, I do get a blessing from doing this, and it's not monetary. It's literally just, I'm pumped to be able to read God's word, have it be impressed upon my heart, and then hopefully see it take shape in your life as well. So that's really a big blessing for me. But no money, and I don't need a gift card to Cheesecake Factory either. Okay, so why do we give? This is basically the outline that we're going to look at as we look at giving. So we're going to look at why we give. We're going to look at biblical directives on giving. So doing it the way that God wants us to do it, and he's told us, right? He hasn't left us in the dark. I also want to clear up some misconceptions, right? I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger on that one by saying 10%, okay? we'll clear up some misconceptions, and then also I just wanted to give some practical guidance on this topic, okay? So first one, and a lot of these are scriptural, right? So, and there's some, like I said, I feel like I'm cutting off my right arm by not saying some of them. So I do want to turn to all of these, okay? Because these are just, again, foundational. This is not Kirk's opinion. This is what the Bible tells us. So let's look at Matthew 6:2. You know, Matthew, we're going through it, right? So if I say something different than our beloved pastor, he's probably right. But I would go with what he said, but I think what I'm going to say is probably what agrees with him in the respect that Matthew, as we know, is written to the Jews, right? A lot of Old Testament references in Matthew, and it's proving that Jesus is the king. He's the one that's been promised, right? And so Jesus, or in Matthew, we start off with, you know, seeing him born. Seeing him, you know, we just went through it, baptized, you know, starting his public ministry. And then, of course, we get to Matthew 5, and we see the amazing sermon that he teaches. And then we get to Matthew 6, and he really is just telling us, here is what someone in God's kingdom is like. Precious passage, right? What does it look like when someone has been changed and has now been accepted into God's kingdom? And there's a beautiful treasure in this, verses 19 through 21, y'all know very well, but the beginning is what I want to look at right now, verse 2. And Jesus says, verse 2, so when you give, I'm going to stop there. When you give, all right? I think you know where I'm going on that one, right? It's commanded. Jesus is expecting you to do that. That's someone who lives in my kingdom does that, right? They give. Okay? The other one I want to give. So that's first, right? We could stop there, right? But there's just a bunch more I want to cover. We could stop there and said, well, Jesus told us to do it. We should do it. It always works out well when we obey Jesus. But I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to lean on John MacArthur because he said it, and I trust him. I didn't audit him. But this verse is really neat because it says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which we're also going to come back to later in a different slide. Notice what the end of that verse said. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. Is that enough reason right there as well? I mean, the fact that what MacArthur says is nowhere else in Scripture does it say God loves this thing, right? God loves a cheerful giver. That's pretty neat. I mean, to understand that this amazing God actually has a special love for someone who gives. Okay? Let's go back to Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Sorry, guys. I should have done that as the second bullet point, huh? Making y'all flip around. Right back to where we were. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Y'all, probably a lot of y'all know this passage already. This is kind of the bedrock passage I used with the college group and the young marrieds. The reason why we give here is treasures in heaven. Okay, sounds cool, right? Jesus says, I'll just go to verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So I guess just verse 20. I'm not going to get into it, and I told the young marrieds, do I know what those treasures in heaven look like? I don't. I don't know what those look like. Are they going to be neat and cool and worth it? Yeah, I think they are. I don't know what exactly it looks like, but the fact is Jesus says we are able to store up treasures in heaven, and that is through giving. This passage is neat because it is talking about wealth. I've heard people talk about that passage being, you know, when you obey, you're storing up treasures in heaven. And I always kind of cringe a little bit because I'm like, we are talking about wealth in this passage. This is talking about how a person that lives in the kingdom of God spends his wealth. And you can see that because the wealth that he stored up on earth rusts, it degrades. We're not talking about general obedience. We're talking about how they spend their wealth. So there is a way that you can store up treasures in heaven. So that's the third point. Now here's another neat one. Luke 6:38. Let's look at that one. I call this one, be a vessel of God's blessing and reap bountifully. And y'all are probably like, ooh, he's getting really close to being a prosperity teacher. We'll talk more about it in a couple slides. But the fact is, there are so many Bible verses that talk about God blessing someone who gives. Now, again, I'm not doing the health, wealth, and prosperity thing, but there's a reason why those guys are listened to, because they take a little bit of the scripture and they twist it, right? Like, the Bible says kind of all over the place, God will give to the person who gives, right? But this passage says, 6:38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I mean, you can wrestle around with what those passages mean, right? But they're all over the place. I just listed one, right? So being a vessel of God's blessing is what I call that one, because, again, I think the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel people, they start off in a place where you could kind of read a Bible verse that says, it looks like God's giving back to people that give. I think where they get off is they use it for their selfish reasons, right? Like, you can get 3 houses, and okay. That's not what the Bible's teaching. What the Bible is teaching, in my view, is when God has a conduit of a giver, he's going to keep using that conduit, right? He's going to keep blessing that person, because that person's just going to take it and continue to build his kingdom, right? It's not for their selfish reasons. It's for, remember the purpose, building God's kingdom with your wealth. Okay, let's also talk about Matthew 6:3. We're going to go back again. What a mean guy. I made you go back for the third time. Matthew 6:3. We're getting good at finding Matthew 6. Look at what Matthew 6 says. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know. Oh, I think I got the wrong verse. I think it's supposed to be 4. Did I say 4? 3. Look what it says in verse 4. Sorry, mistake on that slide. We'll fix that. It says, so that your giving will be in secret. This is the part. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That sounds good, right? Like, God seeing you give something will reward you. I'm not going to say what that looks like, but we have learned as we read the Bible to trust what he says, right? Reward. He will reward us. And then the last one, this one's kind of near and dear to my preschool teacher heart, but John 3:16, and yes, you could say, that doesn't talk about money. You're right. But what did Jesus do? There's a song, why I said it's near and dear to my heart, because there's a song that kind of plays in the children's building, and I'll tell you after I read this verse. Y'all already know this verse. We didn't even need to turn there, did we? 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? Well, I can stop right there. It said God loves a generous heart, because that's a heart like his own heart. So all those points, right, there's probably more. Those are the ones I think about. Why give? Hopefully we've covered enough, right? Hopefully you're sold, maybe, if you're not already. And anyway, those are great reasons why give, right? So we've covered a lot of the why gives. We didn't even cover them all. Now let's look at how do we give. God cares about how we give. He also gave us very clear instructions on how we give. Okay, y'all, you're like me, probably. Okay, we're all probably similar. We're all under the curse of sin. What is something that we would all really hope to get? Okay, I know this is like an open-ended question, and I may be unclear. But in our sin, what would we want when we give and we sacrifice something? What would we want?
Recognition.
Thank you, right? Okay, so it wasn't that hard of a question, right? And I like to tell this to people, I work with, actually, and God doesn't, there's no verse in the Bible that says eat your ice cream, right? Like, we don't need to be told to do stuff that's easy, right? God tells us stuff because he knows we don't do it that way, right? Like, that's not natural, right? A lot of us would love to give so that everybody sees, look at me, right? What did I give? But that, our first bullet point here is back to Matthew 6 once again. Maybe we won't go there, but Jesus is teaching on that. Maybe I'll remember it. Jesus is teaching. Remember, I got my hands here, four-year-olds. What did it say? Don't you love how Jesus teaches? Come on, guys. What does it say? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Isn't that such a beautiful way to say it? Like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. God knows. God knows us. Don't do that thing that y'all want to do. You want recognition. God just flat out lays it out right there. Don't give in that way. You know, I love what Jesus says. He says, the people that do that, what does it say? They have received their reward in full. They have gotten what they wanted. They got the praise of men, which literally gets you nowhere, right? The person that gives where their left hand doesn't know where their right hand is doing, remember what it said? It said they will receive their reward from the Heavenly Father. I mean, crazy. So as you give, just remember that. Give humbly. Don't seek glory from it. Okay, this is a great passage. Let's go to this one. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. This is a passage, y'all probably familiar with Corinthians, right? That church had a lot of issues that needed correcting. And 2 Corinthians was the second letter. And actually, you saw some positivity coming from the first letter, right? You saw some things, great things happening. And one of these was Paul extolling them for how they gave, right? My Bible says the cheerful giver, which is the title of our session here, the cheerful giver. I want to read this one because this is like a huge, hugely important as well. Again, talking about directives the Bible gives us for giving. He says this, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there's great things packed into those verses there, as far as talking about directives in giving, right? So how does God direct us to give? Again, humbly, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Look at this next one. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, right? Does your Bible say each one must give 15% if his income is between this? Does anyone's Bible say that? There's no graduated schedule, right, in the Bible. And so what does this mean for us? It means you got to think about it, you know? You have to think about this. As you have purposed in your heart, there literally is no right or wrong answer. So no percentage, which I'm going to nail on in just a second again. And then what next? There's an attitude, right? There's an attitude that God cares about. What does it say? Make sure you're not grudgingly doing this, right? Again, eat your ice cream. You know why God tells us that? Could you be grudgingly as you give some of your hard-earned money away? Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I could, right? God says, check your heart, right? When you're giving, don't do it grudgingly. And then last of all, very important as well, don't do it under compulsion. Y'all understand what that means, right? Like, if someone's up there telling you, hey, not that y'all would go anywhere but countryside, right? But if you move away and they say, hey, we're expecting to see X amount every week, you can say, let me show you 2 Corinthians 9, 7, right? No compulsion. This is a gift. This is a sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship to the Lord. And no one needs to tell you what to do and when to do it and how much to do it, right? So not grudgingly and under compulsion. And then last of all, biblical directive. I just want to say this is less of a directive and just kind of knowledge. Like, again, we talked about it. How does it end there? God loves a cheerful giver. Pretty neat. Pretty special blessing there from God for someone who does it right. All right, so let's go through some of these misconceptions. These are very important. Like this slide here hopefully will be helpful to y'all. Misconception is tithing. Y'all remember that when I teased y'all with the 10%? Because, you know, a lot of people think that that's a thing, right? Like that's kind of what a good Christian does or what you should do. And I want to just explain to y'all what tithing is, because people didn't just make that term up. Like, it is in the Bible, but I want to kind of show you as we kind of walk through these passages that really I'll give you the bottom line. Really, the tithing in that was more of like a tax, okay? And so it doesn't carry over to the New Testament, okay? So if you look at tithing in the scripture, there's really three passages, I believe. We're going to find out. It's on my slides. Three passages that talk about tithing, okay? And so this one is from Numbers 18 and Leviticus 27, talking about the same tithe. And it was an annual 10% of animals and produce. And what that did is it supported the Levites. Now, what helps me as I think through this is just remember the Israelite, you know, country and their system was very different than our system, right? They lived in a theocracy, right? They lived where God was in charge. And they had a set up system that was, you know, given by God. And so basically there was a whole lot of people and, you know, buildings that had to be taken care of. And that's what these tithes took care of, was that Levite, you know, the Levites were the people that helped at the temple, and they helped with the sacrificial system. And so these tithes were meant to support those Levites. All right. Now, again, you can probably connect the dots here. We don't have that, right? We don't have a religious system that's also our government, right? But I don't want to spoil the fun here at the end. So then there's another annual 10% in Deuteronomy 12, which supported the festivals and the worship ceremonies, you know, like Passover and stuff. And then this is from Deuteronomy 14. There's every 3 years, there was another 10%, but it's only every 3 years, so it's kind of 3.333 every year, where that was given to the government, right? Like the theocracy, to support the poor, widows, fatherless, and alien. So if you add all those up, it's a total of 23.333% each year. So it's not even 10%, it's just three different tithes, right? And so you end up paying 23.33% to support all those things, again, that were part of the theocracy that was part of the Old Testament. So now let's fast forward to the New Testament, right? And so Quinn already covered this, but we have a tax that we are supposed to pay the government, right? Not supposed to evade it. And there's also a free will offering to God. The tax to the government is that passage that Quinn brought us through, Romans 13. And then there is free will offerings to God. And I listed two passages here, which, again, support that idea of no amount or percentage is prescribed. We looked at 2 Corinthians 9:7 earlier. Remember what it said? It said, as he has purposed in his heart, right? And then if you go look at 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, this is when Paul is telling the Corinthian church, like, here's how we're going to administer this gift that we're bringing. And so he was telling them how to administer that. And he says in there, every person should do as he may prosper. So again, no percentage, no amount. It's as he may prosper. And then in 2 Corinthians, as he has purposed in his heart. There's no referring back to Deuteronomy 16 of, hey, everyone give their 10%, we'll be good. It's as you've purposed and as you've prospered. So let's do some other misconceptions and squash these. Regarding giving, there's some folks out there that, you know, read passages like this one that I've got listed here, Luke 21:1-4, and they think And just so y'all know that passage, that's the widow. You know, the Jesus is looking at everyone give their money into the stuff, and then he basically says, look at this widow. She gave her last two coins, all that she had. And a lot of people read that passage and just think, you know, that's what I really need to aspire to, is giving the everything I had. And just look at her as the example. And really, when you, again, thankful for teachers that look at the word and look at the context, that comes, if you read that like that, you know, Pastor Tom, maybe one of my favorite sermons he's done, again, finance guy, but like, he squashed this and said, if you read that and you came away with, you need to give everything you have, it just seems like a really odd place for it to be, because all around that passage, Jesus is just, I say this, you know, I say picking a fight, but maybe that's not the right way to say it, but he is getting to the point where they're going to kill him. The religious leaders don't like him, and so he's calling them out, basically, on this stuff, and so that passage is right in the midst of all that, and so he's telling all the people that are listening to him, look at this system that these guys have set up, where this poor widow feels like she's got to give everything, and she's doing her religious duty by doing this. So that's a really important one as well, like to understand that Jesus isn't saying you need to give everything, all of your money. This is a passage about the religious leaders and what they had done. They had set up a system where they are happy to take widows' last stuff, right? Okay, the other one, a lot of people might think, well, I just shouldn't save. You know, like, yeah, I'm ready to give. That's a spiritual discipline. I'm going to give all I got, like over above my spending or my needed expenses, and saving, I shouldn't worry about that. And we're going to talk about saving next time, but I do want to squash this one as well. One of my favorite on this one is Proverbs 16:22. You know, there are a lot of passages in Proverbs about saving and that it being extolled, and that's a wise thing to do. This is maybe my favorite. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So just looking at that front part, how does a guy get extolled here in Proverbs? By saving for his children's children. He had to have saved that money, right? Like, to be able to have an inheritance to supply to his children's children, that means that's leftover money that he didn't spend, that he saved for that purpose. And he's extolled here in Proverbs. So again, we'll get more into savings, but I did just want to say, when you're talking about giving, we're not saying, give it all, don't worry about saving, right? But in all these things, if you want to do that, I guess you could do that, but when you're 80 and no one wants to hire you, you'd have a hard time getting money, you know? Anyway, this last one is also important. I think someone asked a question about this maybe over here, about traveling or something. But the Bible does tell us that he has given us wealth to enjoy, okay? So it's not wrong to also shave off some of your money to enjoy it. And I find that also helpful and nice that God has that in mind for our finances. 1 Timothy, all the T's are together, aren't they, still? Yeah. 1 Timothy 6:17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world to not be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Boom, mic drop. God gave us these things to enjoy them. Isn't that cool? Like, he's not pressing his thumb down on you and you better give, give, give. I mean, if you want to do it, he also lets you. But he also says, you know, the stuff I give you is to enjoy as well. Okay, I want to clear this one up as well. And this comes at the request of the finance committee. And I almost want Quinn to come up here and do this one, but because I've never experienced this. But there are some folks who, season of life, They are on a fixed income, and literally all their bills, they don't have enough to give. The reason why I'm uh, The reason why it's hard for me to teach this is because I think in your season, I don't know if you're in the season of life. I personally believe it's like Bible reading. You need to figure out how to do it. Like don't let this be an excuse. But we wanted to call this one out because maybe you have some folks in your life that are struggling with this. And I know Quinn has shared that there are people that they don't have the money and they feel like, I must do this. And they're going into debt. And it's you know, they need to kind of have the message of, you can't. I mean, you can't. That's right. And so, but with this, again, I don't know if many of y'all are in that scenario. And I would say if you are in that scenario where you think, I don't have enough, I would encourage y'all to look at your needs versus wants, right? Go through your spending plan that y'all are going to do, right? 100% of y'all, 100%. Go through it. And I like to think if it was me that I would figure out where I need to cut. You know, giving is important. Again, there's no percentage that God, but I think it's an important act of worship for y'all to figure that out, right? So it says needs versus wants. Proverbs 21:20, we didn't talk too much about this, but this is another favorite proverb where it says, I think I might know this one off the top of my head, but I'll find it. 21:20 says, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. And so the idea is don't be that foolish man who just consumes, consumes, consumes. Like, try to order your life wherever you have extra. You have the ability to give, to enjoy. That's why I put that one there. And I would say if you're currently in a state where it is impossible to give, I would definitely, like I say, encourage y'all to really think hard about your budget. Think hard about what you can do so that you can perform this act of worship. Financial counseling is available. So just practically speaking, budget for giving. I've already kind of touched on this one before, but I, again, equate it back to Bible reading. It's just like that. You say, I'm going to do that this time, and that's what I'm going to do for that period of time. And that's a lot better than saying, if I have the time. It's a lot better than the farmer that said, we'll give whatever cow I want to do, and then it dies, and oh, never mind. It works the same for money, is look at your budget and come to your conscience belief, here's how much I can do. And then this is the last one, and I will say, I will plug our pastor again, Tom Pennington. He did a really good sermon that I listened to in preparation for this called For God's Eyes Only, and it's he did two sessions on it a couple of years, or maybe more than a decade ago, I think, but it was over Matthew 6, that passage we just looked at. So I'm basically copying right out of his sermon on these ones, but he explained, you know, okay, so Kirk, you've led me to the Bible, convinced me this is something I need to think about and something that is an important part of my spiritual life as a kingdom dweller of Christ. You got me. We're there. The Bible's convicted me. We're there. Well, what do I give my money to then? How do I give the money? Where do I give it, right? So again, from Pastor Tom himself, so I think it's solid. Missions and evangelism, right? I don't think I can turn there, but great verse there, talking about how people are supporting men that are out there spreading the gospel to the world. So missions and evangelism is a great way, and just plug for all the missionaries you see on the west wall of the outside the sanctuary. All of them are supported, right? They need support to do what they're doing. Giving to the local church is another priority. How to give towards the kingdom of God, giving to this church right here. And then another one is those in need. And this one is all over the Bible. You can't escape this one. Enough where I've had to wrestle with it. How do I give to the poor? It's all over the place. Like, you can't escape it. Those are three, again, Pastor Tom blessed. priorities of how you give to God's kingdom.